She tasted like gumdrops, smelled like flowers.
"This is the best night,"
she murmured.
"One more week of school, then summer."
3.5 days, he corrected.
"Even better. But I'm going to miss you so much when you go on vacation to Italy."
"Then you're going to Ireland."
He held her close again.
"I wish we were going over there at the same time. Then we'd be in the same part of the world."
"You have to write me. I'll write you. I wish you had a phone. I think we could text if you did."
"I'm going to try to get one. The parents won't go for it, but I think I could talk Emily into getting me one in her name. Then I'd pay her for it."
"And hide it really well, like the notebooks."
"That would be so awesome. I can't imagine not having a phone. You must feel so cut off from, like, everything. I mean, everybody has one. Your parents are scary strict."
"You have no idea."
"Yeah, they are."
"Well."
When the song ended, she stood with her body against his another moment.
"We're going to be upperclassmen. Juniors. Maybe they'll loosen up."
"Yeah, maybe. Want to go outside for a while and..."
She smiled again. She knew what "and" meant.
"Let's do that."
Outside, the night was lake spring cool, so he gave Ashley his suit jacket. Other kids had come out to talk, to sneak a smoke, to sneak a joint, or to "and." He stayed away from the smokers, the stoners. Not worth military school. And drew Ashley just far enough away, just enough into the shadows that they could get serious about kissing, enough so he could touch her breasts. And just when he thought maybe, she pulled back.
"We have to slow down."
Her heart had been hammering under his hands, and her breathing was unsteady. He thought if he only had another minute, maybe just 30 seconds.
"I don't want to."
She took his hand.
"But we have to."
"I really like you, Ashley."
"I really like you, too. But we should go back inside. Don't be mad."
"I'm not."
Frustrated, yeah, with a hard-on so big he wasn't sure he could walk yet.
"I get it. It's just, I think about you a lot. And I think about being with you."
Her eyes looked like the lake, he thought, when she stared up at him. So soft, so blue, almost liquid.
"So do I, you know, about you. That's why we need to go in. My granny, she was my age when she got pregnant with my dad."
"Jeez."
"I know. So let's go back to the dance."
He hadn't thought about doing it, or hadn't thought of it in the maybe category yet. He wasn't sure what to think, knowing she had. And knowing she had didn't help with the hard-on.
"I just need to,
She glanced down, grinned. Her liquid blue eyes laughed.
"Oh, okay. Let's just talk about calculus."
"That would do it."
He had the best time. When he walked Ashley to the door, he got a totally serious kiss. And had to think about calculus so he could walk back to the car without embarrassing himself. He figured when he wrote it all down in his notebook, it would be sort of like reliving it. Plus, he'd have a whole entry where nothing shitty happened, where he didn't write anything about tests, homework, or Graham's put-downs.
"Thanks for the ride, man,"
he said to Dave, exchanged low fives with Micah. He headed toward the door, half wishing he could just take a walk around the neighborhood, think about Ashley, that last kiss. But he'd miss his 11:30 curfew. Maybe he'd risk making a snack, strictly forbidden after dinner, since after all the dancing, he was completely starving. He thought about risking a sandwich, but he half believed Graham counted the slices of deli ham. Better not. Keep the head down, he decided. Graham had been especially hard-assed the last few days. Not slapping or shoving, but snarling. It was like waiting for a barking dog to bite. When Zane unlocked the door and went in, those teeth flashed.
"You missed curfew."
Graham stood in the foyer, a glass of scotch in one hand, eyes as cold as ice.
Sir, it's 11:30. 11:34. Did you forget how to tell time?
No, sir.
Time matters. Adherence to the rules matter. Leaving this house for entertainment is a privilege granted, not a right.
Yes, sir.
2 years, 2 months, he thought, repeating it like a mantra in his head.
My time matters. Do you think I have nothing better to do than wait up for my son because he can't be trusted to follow the rules?
Instinct warned Zane to keep his gaze lowered, because there was something here. Maybe it was the scotch. Maybe it was whatever had been snarling under the surface for the last few days.
I'm sorry. I guess it took longer to drop off the girls before—
He'd expected the shove, or worse, so let the force take him back a few steps.
Do you think I want to hear excuses? You should have been responsible enough to factor in the time, respected the rules. But since, as usual, you're irresponsible and disrespectful, you're grounded for 2 weeks. No phone privileges, no gaming privileges, no outside activities, including baseball.
Now Zane's head snapped up.
Sir, we're going to States. We're going to take the championship for the second year in a row.
Smugness coated over the snarling.
So by your lack of responsibility, you let your school and your teammates down.
No glory days for you.
You're a screw-up, Zane. Always have been.
Zane saw it. Saw it clear as a sign in neon.
Is that what this is about? You don't want me to play. To be part of a winning team, maybe even to stand out. So you find any excuse to take it away from me.
He hadn't expected the backhand, only because he'd lost himself in his own rage.
And there's 2 weeks more.
Tossing the drink aside, Graham gripped Zane by the shirt front, rammed him back against the door. And in that moment, Zane knew he was right. The 4 minutes was an excuse to take away something he loved. His hands fisted at his sides.
Have you been drinking?
No.
Graham slammed him back again.
Don't lie to me. Drugs?
No.
You snuck off to the bushes and stuck it to that little slut, didn't you?
No,
Ashley's not a slut. Just another slut, and you're too stupid to see she's trying to get her hooks into you for my money. Don't come in here late, half-dressed, and tell me you didn't fuck her.
He'd taken off his tie, his suit coat, like every other guy at the dance.
I didn't have drugs, alcohol, or sex. I went to a school dance.
The punch to the gut hurt and winded him, but he'd braced for it.
Not much of a man, then, are you, if you can't get into that little mick slut's pants?
Graham!
He didn't so much as glance around at his wife's frantic call.
Shut the hell up, I'm busy.
Britt's sick. She's thrown up all over the floor.
Deal with it.
Graham, she's throwing up. She's hysterical. Do something.
I'll do something, all right.
He heaved Zane aside, charged up the steps. He watched almost dispassionately as Graham used his fists, as Eliza shouted and tried to slap back. Let them bloody each other, he thought, like a couple of goddamn animals. He only needed to get past them to Britt. He started up the steps, calculating, but the shouts, the fists, the curses had Britt running out. Pale as a ghost, she covered her ears.
Stop! Stop! Please! I can't take it! I just can't take it!
This time it was Britt who earned that vicious backhand. As he heard his sister cry out, saw her fall, something snapped in Zane. He streaked up the steps like fury, burning. Even as Graham spun to meet the attack, Zane's fists flew.
See how you like it.
The muscles he'd trained for more than a year drove his fists, and the dark pleasure of seeing the shock on Graham's face, the blood he spilled on it, drove him. Screaming. Everyone screaming. He wouldn't stop, couldn't, until the man who made his life hell was down. Somewhere far away, he heard Britt shouting for help. Shouting the address. He felt Eliza's nails rake down his face, but he didn't stop. Then he was falling, flying, tumbling. His elbow hit a tread on the stairs like a hammer hits a nail. He felt something crack, break, shatter, and the pain bloomed red as his head hit another. Dazed, he tried to stand, managed to get to his knees, lifted his shaking fists to defend himself. But Graham didn't rush into attack. No one stood up the stairs, and Britt had stopped screaming. Understanding that could be worse, he pushed himself up, fell again. Something wrong with his ankle, he realized, and began to crawl. He'd made it to the base of the steps when Graham dragged Britt out, along the floor, by her hair. He had his doctor's bag in his other hand. She didn't struggle, didn't cry, didn't move, and Zane feared for the first time for her life.
"Don't you touch her again, you son of a bitch!"
"This is your doing."
His voice flat and calm, Graham started down the stairs.
"It won't be military school now. You'll wish for that, but it's too late."
He stood over Zane, angled his head as he studied him.
"You take after your mother's side, in looks, in lack of ambition, in your poor attitude. I have serious doubts you're mine, biologically."
"I hope you're right."
The kick to Zane's gut was almost casual.
"But legally, I'm your father, and a well-respected leader of this community. Actions have consequences. You're about to pay the consequences for your actions."
"Fuck you and your consequences. What did you do to Britt, you bastard?"
"Oh no, son. It's what you did."
Sirens wailed. Zane thought, thank God, thank God, Britt had called for help. She must have called 911.
"They're going to lock you away."
Graham chuckled, shook his head as he set down his bag, started for the door.
"No one as dull-witted as you could possibly be my blood." "Eliza!"
"Yes, yes, Graham."
"Do and say exactly what I told you."
He opened the door, took a deep breath, then ran out.
"Here! Here!"
Outside, Graham waved his arms for the police cruiser. He made his voice shake, forced a few tears into his eyes. It didn't surprise him to see Chief of Police Tom Bost leap out of the cruiser. After all, he'd cultivated the man as a friend and considered him a useful idiot. No reason not to play it up, Graham thought, and bent over, bracing his hands on his knees as if catching his breath.
"My God, Graham, what the hell happened? Your family? Tom, oh my God, Tom, we need an ambulance. On the way. Zane, I can't. He attacked his mother. He struck her, Tom, with fists. Then our little Britt. I rushed upstairs to stop him. We fought. He fell down the steps. I had to give Britt a sedative. My boy's hurt, Tom. He's hurt. And I think he lost his mind." "Hold on. Stay right here,"
he signaled to one of his officers. Yes, indeed. A 911 from the Bigelows brought out the force, Graham thought as he shook his head and limped after Tom toward the house.
"Tom! Tom!"
At the top of the steps, Eliza held a limp Britt in her arms.
"We need an ambulance. My baby. My baby girl."
"Coming now. Jesus, Zane."
Tom crouched down.
"What got into you? You on drugs?" "No. No, he was hitting her again, and then he went after Britt. I tried to stop him."
"How can you say such a thing?"
Weeping now, Eliza rocked Britt.
"Graham's never lifted a hand to me or either of the children in his life. Oh, dear God, Zane, what have you done?"
Stunned, Zane could only stare.
"She's lying. She's lying for him."
"He came home from the school dance. I'd waited up. Britt was sick, throwing up. I was trying to take care of her, and I told him I couldn't talk to him right now. He flew into a rage. He hit me."
She brought a trembling hand to her face. Cradling his wounded arm, Zane felt something inside him die.
"What are you? What kind of a mother are you?"
He's always been jealous of Britt, but I had no idea.
Eliza gathered Britt closer, began to sob. A pair of EMTs rushed in.
Look after them first, Tom pointed up.
Graham picked up his medical bag.
I want them transported to the hospital. And you with them, Tom said.
Graham nodded.
I need to talk to you, Tom. Outside. He says he hasn't taken any drugs, any alcohol, Graham told the EMTs. I can't be sure. He has before.
That's a lie!
Easy now, Zane.
Zane recognized the EMT. Nate, a friend of Dave's.
I didn't do this. I swear to God, I didn't do this.
Okay, son. We're going to take care of you now.
Zane just closed his eyes.
I didn't do this.
You're not authorized to administer any pain medication, Graham said as he walked out with Tom. You need to do a tox screen. He can't be trusted.
I don't do drugs.
No tears now, only hopeless fatigue.
I don't drink. You're off the team if you do drugs or alcohol. We're going to States.
It hurt. All over again it hurt, so he was thrown back to December 23rd. But he got some relief when they stabilized his arm, his ankle. They got him on the gurney, started to roll him out. Tom came back in, face grim.
I need to cuff him. Jesus, Chief.
Nate laid a hand on Zane's good shoulder.
He's got a broken arm, maybe a shattered elbow. His ankle may have a hairline fracture. Even if not, it's a major sprain. He couldn't put weight on it. He's concussed, he's shocky. Where the hell is he going to go? It's procedure.
With that, Bost stuck out his chin.
He's charged with assault. 3 counts.
Zane stared into Tom's eyes as Tom cuffed his wrist to the gurney. He saw no mercy there, no shade of doubt, just as his father had always told him. Still, he tried.
I didn't do this.
Zane, both your parents tell me the same story. Your sister's sedated, but I'll be talking to her tomorrow.
Bost closed a hand over Zane's, as if that would comfort or reassure.
We're going to get you the help you need.
They rolled him outside. Neighbors everywhere. He could hear them. Who would believe him? None of them. No one. He looked up at the sky. The same stars he'd seen with Ashley. But nothing was the same as it had been. Nothing would be the same now. He heard running feet, started to cringe. His father coming back to finish him. No one would stop him. But it was Dave who gripped his hand.
Zane, it's going to be okay. I didn't hit Britt. I didn't hurt our mother. Of course you didn't. Why the hell is he cuffed? You need to step back, Dave. What the hell, Chief? I dropped this kid off not a half hour ago. He and my boy went to the dance at the high school. They had a good time. How'd you get hurt, Zane? He was hitting her again. He started on me first, then he started on her, and this time he hit Britt. I couldn't let him. I tried to stop him.
In Dave's eyes, he saw what he hadn't in Chief Bost's. He saw belief.
Where the hell is Graham Bigelow? On his way to the hospital, along with his wife and his daughter. I don't like this any more than you, Dave, but Zane's charged with assault. He's going to get medical attention. Then he's going to Buncombe. Good Christ, Tom, you know this kid.
Bost stood his ground.
I know his parents, too, and both of them gave statements. I've got no choice, Dave. He's charged, and Judge Wallace put through the order. You have to step aside. Hell, I do. I'm an EMT. I'm going with him. Somebody's going to stand for this boy.
Dave climbed in the back of the ambulance, helped load the gurney.
Give me his status, Nate.
Zane fumbled for Dave's hand.
He's a monster,
he managed as the doors shut.
Who is, champ?
Graham Bigelow. He's a monster. Eliza, too. Monsters. Don't let them hurt my sister.
Don't you worry. You take it easy now. Let us take care of things.
Emily.
Someone believed him, Zane thought, and closed his eyes again.
Someone.
It brought him a ray of hope that hurt almost as much as his arm.
You need to tell Emily. You need to call Emily and tell her what happened, please.
I will. Don't worry now.
She has to take care of Britt. I won't be able to protect her now.
He felt tears rising when Dave stroked his head, so turned his face away and let himself drift. Chapter 4. Everything blurred. Sirens and lights. Voices. He kept his eyes closed. It hurt less somehow with his eyes closed. More voices, talking fast when they took him out of the ambulance, rolled him into the ER. He heard Dave's voice. Dave stayed with him, rattling off his BP and stuff. He couldn't bring himself to care. Man, he was cold. How did it get so cold? He just wanted to sleep. He wished he had his baseball. Just something to hold on to. They'd lied. His parents, the people who were supposed to love him, supposed to look out for him, had lied. He didn't even know where they'd gone. Maybe they were here at the hospital, but not handcuffed to a gurney. Maybe they'd come here because, for the first time in his memory, Graham had struck Eliza in the face. And Zane knew why. He'd hit her where it showed, because he'd lie. They'd lie and say Zane had hit his own mother. And Britt. His eyes flashed open. His cuffs rattled as he tried to sit up.
Britt, he hurt Britt.
Take it easy, Zane.
To reassure, to monitor his pulse, Dave put a hand on his wrist.
We need to get you into X-ray.
He hit her. He hit her. She called for help. I heard her and tried to stop him. He knocked me down the stairs, then he dragged her out, gave her something. You have to find out how bad he hurt her. Where is she?
I'll find out, Dave promised. I got a hold of Emily. Called her on the way in like you asked. She's coming. And I called in a favor. We're going to have Dr. Marshall take care of your arm, your ankle. She's a hell of a bone doc. She's the best.
We're going to States. He said I was 4 minutes late coming home from the dance, grounded. No baseball.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Dave scrubbed his hands over his face, took a long breath.
You have to tell the police everything you've told me.
I tried. They don't believe me. Just like he said. He's important. I'm nothing.
I don't want to hear that bullshit out of you.
Dave leaned down so their faces were close.
You stay tough, Zane. You stay strong. Look at my face. Look in my eyes. I believe you, and I'm going to do everything I can for you. First, we're going to deal with what we've got. We're going to get you fixed up.
They're going to put me in jail. You have to look out for Britt. She won't have anybody but Emily, and they don't let her come around much.
I'm on it.
Zane looked around the room, just a curtain to block it off, all the sounds of the ER outside. He kept his voice low.
You have to get into my house when they're not there. Take my house key. It's in my pocket.
Why?
I wrote it all down. I've been writing it down for a long time in notebooks. They're behind the vent over my desk. Maybe they'll believe it if it's all written down.
How long has...
Dave cut himself off as the curtain was pulled back.
Looks like it's picture-taking time.
But he slid a hand in the pocket of Zane's suit pants, palmed the key. They took him to X-ray, with one of the officers lingering. Afterward, they wheeled him back, but this time to a treatment room with a door, and the officer right outside. The doctor came in. She made Zane think of a barrel, short, stocky. She had her hair, a lot of gray in it, tied back in a braid.
Hi, Zane. I'm Dr. Marshall.
She picked up his chart.
Let's have a look at things.
Her eyes, dark as a crow's, narrowed, then she flicked them at Dave.
Do you know why Zane hasn't been given any pain medication?
His father said he might be on drugs. He's not, but they won't give him anything until they get the tox back. I've just looked at it. He's clean. God damn it. Sorry, kid.
She slapped open the doors again, yelled for a nurse, started barking out orders like a general. General Beryl. And in a few minutes, everything went light and easy.
His fingers are numb, Dave murmured. The skin at the elbows cold.
I'm reading the chart, Dave.
Okay, Zane, here's the good news. Your ankle's not broken. You've got a nasty sprain, some torn ligaments. We're going to keep treating that with ice, rest, elevation, give you a nice boot for compression. I'm going to give you a list of what to do, how to do it. In a few days, we'll start some PT.
Floating on the painkiller, he smiled at her.
What's the bad news?
You've got 3 bones in your arm, and you hit the triple play. You've got yourself a broken elbow, kid. I'm going to splint it, and that's going to help with the pain, help keep it stable. You're going to keep it elevated over your heart as much as you can. In a few days, when the swelling's gone down, we'll hit those bones with sound waves and get you a cool cast. It may be you're going to need the extra cool pins and screws, but I'm going to take another look at you when you come back.
Floating, hazy, he smiled at her.
Doesn't sound so bad.
That's the spirit. If you need surgery, well, I'm damn good. Plus, you're young and handsome and got some really nice muscle tone going. We'll get you back in shape. Got it?
Yeah, okay. Will they let me out of jail for it?
The smile in her eyes faded.
Doctor's orders. I'm just going to give you a going over first. That handsome face needs a little help too, right?
He didn't break my nose this time. I know how it feels.
Those crow's eyes went extra bright, like, to Zane's thinking, a fire had blown up behind them.
There's good news. So, any double vision?
She began, and her hands, gentle as butterflies, moved to his face. He heard shouting, Emily, and tried to get up.
Stay down, Dave ordered. Let the doctor do what she does. I'll be right outside. Tell her about Britt.
Through the haze, it all tumbled back.
You have to find out about Britt. He hurt her. I tried to stop him. I'm stronger than I was, but he's still stronger. Who hurt her?
As she worked, Dr. Marshall signaled to Dave to go.
Graham. That's what I call him in my head. Since December 23rd. Not the last one, the one before when he broke my nose and stuff.
Dave stepped out, found Emily shouting at the officer.
Come on, Jim. You know Emily. She's Zane's aunt. I'm just following orders. I got orders nobody but medical personnel goes in. What am I supposed to do?
Dave only shook his head, took Emily's arm.
Let's talk.
What the hell is going on? How bad is Zane hurt? They wouldn't even let me see Britt.
I'm going to tell you what I know. I'm going to tell you what your sister and brother-in-law told the cops and what Zane told me. And I'm telling you I believe Zane.
He laid it out, no sugarcoating, watched her brace herself against the wall, go pale.
I should have known. How could I not have known? My God, they're just kids. How long has...
I don't know. You don't doubt what Zane says?
However pale her face, the eyes in it went ferocious.
Not for one damn minute.
They're sending him to Buncombe, the detention center here in Asheville, after he's treated.
They can't just...
It's Graham. She set her teeth, breathed through them.
He'd make that happen. He'd find the strings to pull. Can I post bail?
I don't know.
Zane gave me his house key. He asked me to get into the house, to get notebooks he's got hidden. He's been writing it down. I don't know if it'll help, but I'm going to find a way to get them.
Can you? It's a lot to ask.
He's depending on me. He's a good kid, Emily. He's a good friend to my boy, and the way I see it, he's been kicked around by that son of a bitch for years.
She swiped at her face, stared down at the wet of tears. How could there be tears, she wondered, when she felt such rage?
And Britt?
I don't know, but my impression is this might be the first time Graham went after her.
They won't let me see her. Won't tell me anything, not even her room number. Dr. Bigelow's orders, no visitors.
Mild concussion, bruised cheekbone, a lot of bruising. I'm sorry,
he said when Emily's eyes filled again.
He sedated her at the house. I know a lot of the nurses and got the update on her. She's resting comfortably. Sleeping.
He glanced back at the officer, moved Emily a few more steps away.
I'm going to check. Make sure Graham and Eliza are still here. She had some pretty severe facial injuries. So did he.
Emily balled both hands into fists, white at the knuckles.
I'd like to give them both a few more.
I hear you.
He glanced back again.
I didn't want to leave Zane until you got here. I'm going to let him know you're out here, tell him Britt's okay, just sleeping. Then I'm going for the notebooks. They're going to take him, Em. Nothing we can do about it. You have to go to the cops, tell them what I've told you. I'm coming back with the notebooks. We'll show them to the cops here in Asheville, not the Lakeview cops.
You're a good man, Dave.
I'm a father. God knows that boy needs one. Try to reassure him when they come to take him to Buncombe.
Emily waited. She paced. She woke up an old friend, now a lawyer in Raleigh, for advice. She took the names of two criminal attorneys he gave her and reluctantly accepted his advice not to call them at 1 in the morning. She made a mental list. Police, lawyer, maybe child services. And yes, indeed, a conversation with her sister. When the doctor came out, Emily all but leaped on her.
How is he? Is he okay? I'm his aunt. I'm Emily Walker, his aunt.
I can't give you details. It's against the law. I'm going to tell you he's been treated and he's as comfortable as I can make him.
Doctor?
Jim, the officer, cleared his throat.
I've got to ask if he's cleared. The van to take him to Buncombe's outside.
Marshall fisted her hands on her hips.
And if I say no, he needs to stay here for observation?
He shuffled, looked down at his feet.
Then I gotta tell you, ma'am, Dr. Bigelow said he'd come down and clear him personally. Look, I don't like it, but the kid went after his mom, his little sister.
That's a lie, a terrible lie.
Jim's face toughened, but he didn't meet Emily's eyes.
That's the statement, from his parents. And the law says he goes to Buncombe until his trial. Now you sign off, Doc, or I'm ordered to let Dr. Bigelow know. It's going to happen either way.
Zane felt better. Maybe it was the drugs or the weird splint, but he felt better enough he dozed off on the gurney. And came around when a nurse, male, and one of the cops woke him to transfer him to a wheelchair. When they rolled him out, Emily rushed to him, dropped down.
Oh, Zane.
Emily, you're not supposed to—
You shut up, Jim, or I swear I'll tell your mama you manhandled me.
She snapped back at him as she touched her hand to Zane's battered face.
I've known you since grade school, James T. Jackson, and I've never been so ashamed of you.
I didn't.
You don't even have to say it.
Still stroking, Emily cut off Zane's denial.
I know you, Zane.
You have to look after Britt.
I will.
You have to promise. Don't let him hurt her.
I swear it to you on my life. You hear me? I won't let him hurt her again, whatever it takes. You have to hang in for me, my man. I'm getting you a lawyer. Dave and I, your grandparents, and people who know you, we're all going to do everything to get you out of that place.
It's just jail. That house, it's been jail a long time. We've got to take him out, Emily. You've got to move back.
I believe you, Zane, and I believe in you. You believe me when I promise you on my life I'm going to fix this.
She kissed his bruised cheek, made herself straighten and move back. When she watched them wheel him around the corner, she turned her face to the wall, wept, and weeping, fumbled her ringing phone out of her pocket. Britt woke in the dark, moaned, lifted her fingers to her throbbing cheek. The light snapped on. And her father stood beside her bed.
Hospital, she realized.
Her father's face had bruises, a blackened eye. His lip was swollen, and his eyes peered out cold and mean.
This is what's going to happen,
he said.
When the police come to speak to you in the morning, you'll tell them your brother hit you. He hit your mother and knocked her down. He hit you. You don't remember much after that. Your mother's screaming for me, but you threw up and got dizzy. Do you understand?
Be smart, Zane always told her. Be smart. Be careful.
Yes, sir.
You saw me fighting Zane, were frightened. You ran to the phone to call for help. He got past me for a moment, struck you again. That's all you know. Is that clear?
He did that to your face. I'm glad he did that to your face.
Yes, sir.
He leaned down close, and her heart beat like bird's wings in her throat.
Do you know what will happen if you say anything else? Do you think your face hurts, your head hurts, now?
It's nothing.
Your mother and I have told the police what Zane did. They, of course, believe us. Zane should be on his way to prison very soon.
No, please.
He slapped a hand over her mouth, squeezed just a little.
Your brother is lost to us. Something's wrong with him, with his mind. He's probably on drugs. He attacked his family and will remain in prison until he turns 18. He will be forbidden to contact you or you him. He will not be allowed in our home again. Do you understand? Nod.
She nodded.
Very bad things can happen to a young girl who disobeys her father, especially if her father's a doctor. You don't want to find out what those very bad things are.
He let her go, took a step back, shot out a smile.
Cheer up. It'll be like being an only child. You'll get all the attention, all the benefits. Think about that.
He walked to the door.
Oh, and your aunt won't be visiting. I've told the nursing staff to keep her away. She's been a bad influence, I'm afraid. In fact, I wonder if that's where Zane picked up his drug habit. Rest now. You'll be able to go home in the morning. I'm going to go sit with your mother and get some sleep myself.
When he closed the door, Britt lay very still. She could hear her breath panting, so quick and fast it made her ears buzz. She had to slow it down. Chloe's mom went to yoga classes, was always talking about breathing. Britt tried to get through the buzzing and remember what Mrs. Carter said when she and Chloe did yoga with her. Because she had to get out, had to get away. She couldn't go home, not with him. She couldn't be alone like an only child. Her breath started to speed up again and tears wanted to come, but she tried really hard. He said Zane was going to prison. She had to do something. But if the police believed her parents, why would they believe her? And her face hurt. She just wanted to go to sleep until it all went away. But it wouldn't. It wouldn't go away, and she couldn't go to sleep. Maybe the police wouldn't believe her, but Emily would. Maybe Mrs. Carter would. Maybe. She got up slowly, crept and felt her way across the room until she found the bathroom. She turned on the light, closed the door except for a crack so she could see better. She couldn't find her clothes, her shoes. She didn't have a phone in the room. He'd taken them. He would have thought of that. He thought of things. But so did she, Britt told herself. And the thing she thought of first was find a phone. She went to the door, opened it a crack, too. More light, a little sound, but not much. Mostly quiet. She didn't know what time it was. He'd taken her watch, too. But it had to be really late. Or really early. Heart hammering, she slipped out of the room in her bare feet and hospital gown, dashed across the hall, slipped into another room. Two beds, but only one person. Another kid, she realized, younger than her. And a phone on the table by the bed where he slept. She took the phone as far away from the bed as she could, sat with it on the floor, and called Emily. Nobody answered, and she wanted to cry again when the machine came on. But she had another number in her head. Emily's cell phone. If that didn't work. This is Emily.
Emily.
As she had countless times with Zane, Britt whispered.
You have to help us. Britt, oh God, Britt, they wouldn't let me see you. Are you okay?
Nothing's okay. You have to help. Dad said Zane's going to prison. He said I couldn't tell what happened or he'd hurt me worse. It wasn't Zane. It was Dad.
I know. I know, baby. Tell me your room number. I'll find a way to get in. I'm here. I'm in the ER right now.
You're here.
Tears spilled then, shoved out of her by terrible hope.
You're here.
I'm here. I'll come get you. What's your room number?
I'm not there. He took my clothes and shoes. He took out the phone. I went into another room where a kid's sleeping. Don't come up. Everyone will do what he says. They'll send you away and they'll tell him I'm coming down the stairs.
Britt,
I can get to the stairs and I'll walk down.
Which staircase, do you know?
This is room...
She turned the phone more to the light.
Room 4612. It must be pediatrics because there's a kid.
Okay. I'll go to that staircase. If you aren't down in 5 minutes, I'm coming up.
I'm coming down. I'm coming now.
She started to leave the phone on the floor and run. Just run. But stopped herself. Thought it through. If a nurse came in, the phone should be where it belonged. And just running out, she might get caught. She put the phone back, froze when the little boy stirred and whimpered in his sleep. At the door, she heard the sound of brisk footsteps passing by. Waited. Waited until they faded away before opening the door a crack. Then wider so she could ease out enough to look up and down the corridor. She saw the sign for the stairs. So far away. She'd run. Had to run. But quiet. She heard a call bell ding, and like a runner off the mark, sprinted down the corridor. The stairway door, heavy, seemed to push back at her, but she got through and kept running. Somebody could come. He could come. They'd take her back. They'd tell him. He'd stick her with a needle again. Hit her again. She got all the way down, breath wheezing, but Emily wasn't there. Drained, desperate, she sat shaking on the steps. Maybe he'd found Emily, hurt her, stopped her. Maybe he'd... The door opened. Britt's hands flew to her mouth to hold back a scream. And Emily rushed to her, gathered her up.
Oh, Britt, oh, sweet baby.
Pulling back a little, she looked at Britt's face, the black eye, the bruised cheek.
Oh, that filthy fucking bastard.
Put this on.
She stripped off her hoodie.
I would go for orange.
Keep the hood up. We're going to walk, not run, walk steady and direct to the exit. There aren't many people around and we're just going to walk out, keep walking to my truck. It's in the ER lot, but once we're outside, we'll be okay.
You came. You came.
Of course I did. We have to go. Hold my hand. Keep your head down. Just walk. Don't talk. Don't stop. Ready?
Nodding, Britt gripped her hand. They walked, Britt in the orange hoodie, bare feet, flowered hospital gown. And at 1 a.m, no one gave them a second look. Outside, Emily slid an arm around Britt's waist. The girl had shot up, she realized, and stood nearly as tall as she did, growing like a weed, one she hadn't seen in weeks.
I should have given you my shoes.
It's okay. It's okay. Is it much farther?
Not much. We're fine. We're fine.
But her voice shook a little, and Britt heard it.
We're going to get to the truck, and we're going to go to the police.
No. They believe him. They put Zane in jail.
Not the Lakeview police, the Asheville police. And we're going to make them believe us, Britt. Dave, Mr. Carter's going to help.
When her knees went weak, she staggered a bit.
Chloe's daddy? He's helping?
That's right. I'm going to call him when we get in the truck. Tell him you're with me. He's getting Zane's notebooks.
What notebooks?
Doing her best to keep out of the light, Emily kept steering the girl forward.
I'll explain.
Was he hurt really bad? Zane?
Yes, but he's going to be okay.
and we're not going to let them keep him in jail. I'm getting him a lawyer first thing in the morning. You're going to tell the police everything. Nobody's going to hurt you again, baby, I swear it.
I'm so scared.
Me too. There's my truck. Maybe her hands shook as she unlocked it, as she helped Britt inside, but her mind held clear and steady. Graham Bigelow wouldn't put his hands on her niece again, whatever it took. She fumbled out her phone as she got behind the wheel.
Dave, I have Emily. I'm taking her to the Asheville police.
You, how did you, never mind. I have the notebooks. I'll meet you there.
Not much traffic, Emily thought, as she kept carefully to the speed limit. And probably no one looking for them yet. They'd be fine, just fine, just fine. Unless they locked her up for kidnapping.
She reached out to squeeze Britt's hand, as much to reassure herself as the girl.
I'm not going to ask you questions now because I want you to say everything to the police. So it's not like we, I don't know, made it all up together.
Inside the orange hood, Britt's bruised face looked so small, so pale.
What if they don't listen?
We'll make them listen.
They have to listen. She drove straight to the police station, parked. Nobody else in the visitor's lot, she noted, and couldn't decide if that was good luck or bad.
Okay, Britt, you just tell the truth. You tell all the truth and it's going to be okay.
He made us lie all the time. We had to lie to you all the time.
He can't make you lie now.
Once again, she took Britt's hand and they walked to the station house. As they did, a man walked out. Britt's hand squeezed hers hard. He looked tired, Emily thought, and his suit jacket looked as if he'd slept in it. A good day's worth of scruff gave his face a rough, tough sort of look. He paused, watched them come. The woman in red Converse high tops with disordered dark hair, faded jeans. The girl with a battered face and bare feet. She couldn't see the color of his eyes, but knew they assessed.
You need some help?
Britt spoke before Emily could.
Are you the police?
That's right. You got trouble?
We have a lot of trouble.
Brown, Emily noted. His eyes were brown like his hair.
Do you have identification?
His eyebrows lifted, but he reached into the inside pocket of his suit coat, took out his badge.
Detective Lee Keller. Why don't you come in? Tell me what the trouble is.
He gave Britt a look that had hope trembling inside Emily.
You look like you could use a soda. Let's go get you one.
Chapter 5. Detective Lee Keller assumed the exhausted woman was the kid's mother, but he set that aside. He knew it was better not to assume. He didn't have to assume the fear. It was all over both of them. He didn't have to assume somebody had hit the girl, put her in the hospital. He could see her face, the hospital gown. He led them through a lobby area, waved off a question from the officer at a counter and kept going. He stopped by a vending machine.
What kind do you want?
Could I please have a Sprite?
Sure.
He glanced at Emily.
You want really bad coffee or a cold soda?
I'll take a Coke. I have change.
Don't worry about it.
He slid dollars in the bill slot, got the Sprite, two Cokes. He led them down another corridor, then another, and into an area marked Criminal Investigations Division. He pulled over a couple chairs from other desks, sat at another.
Have a seat. Why don't we start with your names?
I don't want to tell him. I don't want to tell him yet.
Emily shifted over to drape an arm around Britt's shoulders.
Honey.
It's okay,
Lee decided.
How about we start with who hurt you?
My father.
Has he hurt you before?
Yes.
Oh.
The woman pressed her lips to the top of the girl's head.
Baby.
Just slaps before, or pulling my hair really hard. I didn't tell my brother. I didn't tell him because if he tried to stop him, he'd get hurt worse.
Where's your brother?
When Britt shook her head, Emily cupped her chin. Detective Keller can't help you if you don't talk to him, if you don't tell him. Remember? All the truth.
You left the hospital without your shoes,
Lee commented in that same easy tone.
Without your clothes. You must have been afraid.
I called 911, and he grabbed the phone and hit me in the face. He hit me before that because I threw up. I was scared because he was getting mad. I could hear him going off about my brother. He went to a school dance, and I don't know why that made my father so mad, but it did. My mother went to bed, but he stayed up. And I could tell he was going to hit my brother when he got home.
Does he do that a lot?
He hits my mother and my brother.
I'm not her mother. I'm her aunt, Emily said at Lee's narrowed look. I didn't know about any of this before tonight. I should have, but... She shook her head.
Tell him everything. When my brother got home, he started. He said my brother was late. 4 minutes. Do you get it?
Sudden passion spiked in her voice.
4 minutes. And he made it like Zane had done something criminal, right? He said he was grounded, no sports, and that means he couldn't go to States, the baseball championship. He started accusing him of drinking, doing drugs. He doesn't. And he said awful things about Zane's girlfriend. And she's nice, but he said things. Started shoving Zane, hit him in the stomach.
She gripped the can of soda tight.
He mostly hits where it won't show. I don't know why I ran into my mother. I knew she wouldn't help, but I did anyway. And I got sick, and she got mad, and she yelled for Dad, and he got mad. And he came up and hit me.
Beside her, Emily sat silent, shoulders shaking as tears rolled.
That's when Zane ran upstairs and he hit Dad. He did it to stop him from hurting me. That's defense of others, right? You don't go to jail for that. They shouldn't put you in jail for that. And they had an awful fight, hidden and hidden, and Mom pushed and scratched Zane's face, but Zane didn't stop. And my dad hit Mom in the face, and I ran to the phone and called 911, and I heard Zane yell and thuds, awful thuds. I think he fell down the steps. Dad came in and hit me again, and he told Mom to get his bag. He's a doctor. He told her to hold me down because I tried to fight, and he got out a syringe and stuck me. That's the truth. That's what happened.
She sat back, closed her eyes for a moment, then opened them, stared hard into his, crossed her arms defensively.
Okay.
Careful, Lee only nodded.
Did the police come?
They must have, but he gave me something, and when I woke up in the hospital, he was there, waiting. He said what I had to say, that Zane had hit Mom, hit me, hit him. That if I didn't say what he said, he could hurt me worse than he had. No one would believe me if I said different and Zane was already on his way to prison. I'd be like an only child. He took the phone out of the room and he told the nurses no one could come in and he went to get some sleep. I think they put Mom in the hospital.
Lee filed away the details, including the brother's name, Zane, the father being a doctor, the brother an athlete, must be baseball if he was going to States, and high school, older brother.
Tell me about your mother.
He never hits her where it shows until tonight. Sometimes she hits back, but it's...
Color rushed into her face. She pressed her lips together, gave Emily a pleading look.
It's all right. You just say the truth and it's all right.
It's that... I think they like it. I think she likes it. They have sex after most of the time, and then she acts like nothing happened. He buys her something, and she's like nothing happened.
She turned to Emily, burrowed in.
I couldn't tell you. I was afraid to tell you, but I was getting more afraid of not. Because when Zane goes to college, I'll be alone. Did Dad push him down the steps?
Emily nodded.
But he's going to be okay.
The boy isn't yet 16, she said to Lee. He has a concussion, a broken elbow, a seriously sprained ankle. The doctor wanted to keep him in the hospital overnight, but their father is a surgeon there, and the police where we live believed him and my sister, and he's friendly with important people, like judges. They took that boy to Buncombe. He's 15. He's hurt.
He's never been in trouble. You could talk to anyone and they'd tell you, his coaches, his neighbors, his teachers.
Why did his doctor sign him out?
Because the man who put him in the hospital said if she didn't, he would. You can talk to her. She's Dr. Marshall at Mercy Hospital.
Lee made another note.
Has he hurt your brother enough for the hospital before?
He didn't let Zane go to the hospital before. He locked him in his room. Christmas, Emily, you remember? Not last Christmas, the one before.
Oh, God.
Emily closed her eyes.
Zane didn't have flu, and he didn't have a skiing accident when you were at the resort.
We came home from school, the last day of school before Christmas. Dad was home early, and when we came in, we could hear Mom crying and Dad yelling. Zane tried to stop me, but I ran back, and she was on the floor, and there was blood, and he was hitting her, and I yelled for it to stop. And Zane...
She took a long sip of Sprite.
Before, he'd make me go upstairs, sit with me. Or if it happened when we were already in our rooms, I'd go to his and he'd let me stay until it stopped. But this time, he tried to stop him from hurting her. And Dad...
She let out a hiccuping sob.
I kept yelling to stop, and he... Dad turned and looked at me, and he was going to hit me. And Zane pushed me back and tried to stop him. He hurt him so bad, Mr. Keller. He kept hitting him and he kicked him, and she just watched. And Dad picked Zane up like over his shoulder and took him upstairs, locked him in his room. I should have done something, but I was afraid.
It's not your fault. Even paler than she'd been, Emily brought Britt's clenched fist to her lips, kissed it.
None of it's your fault.
He broke Zane's nose, and his eyes were all swollen and black, and his lip was cut and swollen. I snuck him a sandwich when I could, a PB&J, but he could hardly eat. The day after, on Christmas Eve, I heard Dad go in, and in a little while, Zane was yelling, screaming like he was hurt again. And he said, Dad said, Zane had the flu. He was contagious, and no one was allowed to see him and spread germs, even though Grams and Pop were coming for Christmas. And when we got to the resort, we'd tell the people there he'd been messing around on his bike and had a bad fall. He had to stay in the room while we went skiing. And when we got back, we had to say he fell when he was skiing.
She took the tissue Emily pressed into her hand.
You can call the resort if you don't believe me. You can call them. We go every year. They'll tell you he had the black eyes and everything when we got there. And you can talk to people where we live, to his teachers, and they'll tell you how we said he fell skiing.
What resort do you go to?
High Country Resort and Spa. We go from December 26th to the 30th. We go every year.
I went to see Zane Christmas Eve, Emily said. My sister called, said he was sick, said we had to move Christmas dinner to my place because of germs. I went to take him some chicken soup and a book I was going to smuggle in on their do not read list. A Dark Tower novel, that's all.
When she felt her throat burn, she took a swig of Coke, breathed out the helpless rage.
They wouldn't let me go up. And they left him there alone on Christmas while they came to dinner. They've cut me off from the kids recently. I don't get to see them very often. There's always an excuse.
They said you didn't want to spend time with us, that you had other things you wanted to do. We didn't believe them. Honest, we didn't, but that's what they said. Dad says you're a lazy slut.
Emily managed a smile.
Sometimes I wish.
She kissed Britt's cheek.
We have more evidence. A friend, the father of my nephew's best friend, is on his way here now. He's an EMT, and he heard Zane was hurt. He stayed with him at the hospital. Zane gave him his house key, asked him to go in and get some notebooks he'd hidden. He said he'd written it all down. They took him to prison, Detective Keller. They had to take him out in a wheelchair. If you became a cop to help people, help us.
What's the name of the friend bringing the notebooks? I need to clear him with the officer on the night desk,
he said when they both hesitated.
Dave Carter.
Give me a second.
He should call his lieutenant, Lee thought. Child Services. He should call Buncombe and get the full name of the brother. But for now, he'd play it out. The kid wasn't lying. He came back to find the girl with her head on her aunt's shoulder. She looked so damn small, so beat up.
How'd you get out of the hospital?
I snuck into another room for the phone and called Emily. She was already there, but they wouldn't tell her where I was because my father said not to. I went down the stairs and she met me. Because she believes me, believes Zane, because she said we had to tell the police. My father will hurt her too if he can.
You don't worry about that, Emily told her.
If I'm going to help you, I need your names.
It would take him about 2 minutes to find this Zane with a call to Buncombe, but he wanted the girl, the little girl with exhausted green eyes, to tell him, to trust him.
Do you believe me? Will you believe me even when my father says I'm lying?
If I didn't believe you, I'd have made calls already. I'm a detective.
He smiled when he said it.
I could find out your names and your brother's. But I didn't because I believe you, and I want you to believe I believe you.
Britt looked at Emily, got a nod.
You have to trust. I'm Britt Bigelow. My brother's Zane. My parents are Dr. Graham Bigelow and Mrs. Eliza Bigelow. We live in Lakeview Terrace, and I think he'll kill me if he can now that I've stopped lying.
He's not going to touch you or Zane again. Didn't I tell you I wouldn't let him? The wrong Bigelow is in prison, Detective. And I'm Emily Walker.
Got someone here for you, Detective?
A uniformed officer led Dave in.
Hey, Britt. Let me have a look there.
With a messenger bag over his shoulder, Dave crouched down by her chair.
Are you hurting?
I have an awful bad headache, Mr. Carter, and my cheek hurts a lot. My eye, too.
Oh, Britt, why didn't you say? Damn it, I didn't even ask, not really. I must have some Advil or something.
Let's not,
Dave said as Emily started pawing through her purse.
I don't know what they gave her in the hospital, but I stopped on the way.
He opened the bag, took out a bag of frozen peas.
Quick relief. You just hold that on your cheek, okay? How many?
He held up 2 fingers.
2. I'm okay, Mr. Carter. I feel better since we came here.
Good to hear.
Dave rose, held out a hand to Lee.
Dave Carter. Detective Keller. Well, Detective Keller, since I had Zane's key and his permission, I don't think going in the house into his room qualifies as unlawful entry, but I'll take that lump if it comes.
He pulled several notebooks out of his bag.
I read the first entry in the one marked number 1. If you can read that and do nothing about getting Zane out of that place, about putting Graham Bigelow behind bars, you aren't human.
Lee opened the first book, read the first entry. December 23rd. When he finished, he picked another entry at random. Opened the second book, did the same.
So, Britt, did your grandparents come to visit last summer?
In August, after we got back from vacation. They stayed with Emily. It used to be their house, but they gave it to her and my mom. Mom didn't want it, so Emily paid her share. We had them over on the last day for a party on the sailboat. It was really nice. Then...
She leaned into Emily again, carefully drank some Sprite.
Then after everybody left, my father got mad. He hit Zane in the stomach. He likes to hit in the stomach because it doesn't show. He said Zane embarrassed him because he's a bad sailor, and all he did was talk about baseball with Pop, and he ate too much of the food like a greedy pig. And I don't remember all of it.
That's enough.
Lee closed the book.
If you had to go in front of a judge and swear under oath, would you say everything you've said to me?
Will you get Zane out of prison if I do?
I'm going to work on that. Mr. Carter... Do you remember Zane having a skiing accident? Yeah, Christmas before last. Face planted, he told me. Ah, shit. Shit.
Dave pressed his fingers to his eyes.
He didn't come around until after the first of the year, and he and my Micah are usually joined at the hip. He had a broken nose, but it was healing up. I didn't question it. But it was right after that he asked me to help him get stronger, learn to lift. Because of baseball, he said, and I didn't question that either.
I told you.
Yeah.
Lee nodded at Britt.
You did.
Now Mr. Carter corroborated your statement, your aunt's. And I'm going to wake somebody up at the High Country Resort and Spa and nail it down a little more.
We stay on the executive level. They have 24-hour butler service, but I don't know the number.
I'll get it. I need to talk to the police chief in Lakeview.
Britt shook her head, cringed back against Emily.
He's a friend of my dad's. He'll...
He may be a friend of your dad's, Britt, but he's a law officer, and I've worked with him a couple times. He's not going to push this away. You have to keep trusting me, but another thing I have to do is going to be hard for you. I have to contact Child Services.
They can't take her. Emily wrapped both arms around Britt. I'm her aunt.
I'm going to push as much as I can push, but if I don't contact them, it'll be harder yet. You took the minor child out of the hospital because both you and the minor child feared for her safety and well-being, correct?
Yes.
All right. You have to let me do my work. You have to trust I'm going to do that work with the safety and well-being of Britt top of my list.
Zane.
He's right up there with you, kid. I'm going to show you a place you can wait, maybe get some rest. Can you wait here, Mr. Carter? I just have a couple more questions. Sure. One more thing. The grandparents, not local?
Not anymore, Emily answered. My parents moved to Savannah nearly 10 years ago. You're looking for other family in case they won't let me keep them. They'd come. They'd come without hesitation.
Okay. Let me show you where you can wait.
When he settled them, he hit the break room, got coffee, brought some to Dave.
Being an EMT, I figure you can handle the coffee.
Thanks.
Jesus. Britt, she's tight with my daughter. Seeing what he did to her. What he did to Zane. You responded to the 911. No, I wasn't on, but word traveled, and fast. The kids are like family to me.
Sitting, he rubbed hard at the tension in the back of his neck.
I went down to see what I could do, if I could help. They were bringing Zane out, and they had his wrist cuffed to the damn gurney, saying he was under arrest, 3 counts of assault.
Dave drank the cop coffee without a wince.
And bigger bullshit I've never heard. I'd taken him, my son, their dates to the school dance. And what, 10 minutes after I drop him back home, he's attacking his mom? He wouldn't hit his mother or Britt. He was happy when I dropped him off, Detective. They'd had a great time. Any drinking? Absolutely not. Kid's an athlete. He's serious about baseball and damn good, too. He wouldn't risk getting benched for a beer, especially not before States. Jesus, you read the notebook? I'm getting details, Mr. Carter.
Dave held up a hand, drank more coffee.
Sorry, I'm wound pretty tight right now. Zane was sober, happy. It was their first big date, double date, Zane and Micah, my boy. And his tox came back clean. I was there when Elsa read it. Dr. Marshall, the orthopedic surgeon who treated him. He might still need surgery on the elbow, and he shouldn't have been taken out of the hospital, much less to Buncombe. Elsa didn't want to clear him. He should have had overnight observation. But Graham's not only his father, he's chief surgical resident. She didn't have a choice. You stayed with him? Rode in the ambulance with him, Dave confirmed. Into the hospital. Stayed. Neither of his parents came down. Emily came. I called her. They didn't. Tell me what Zane said to you.
Fueling himself with coffee, Dave went over everything he could remember, backtracked, added more detail.
All right. I might need to talk to you again, but you can go home. I'll wait with Emily and Britt. I just need to let my wife know.
Lee angled his head.
Your wife? You and Ms. Walker aren't involved? What?
Dave's face cleared for the first time with a quick laugh.
No, I've been married for 17 years. 18? One of those. I've got 2 kids. I used to work for the Walkers back when I was a teenager, in summers, into my 20s. I've known Emily and Eliza forever. Emily and I, and Em and my wife, are pretty good friends. Not friends with Eliza Bigelow?
Humor cooled out of Dave's eyes.
We don't run in the same circles as Graham and Eliza. She let that happen to her kids. Maybe she's a victim too, but she let that happen to her kids. And her son is hurt, terrified, and in prison. She let that happen too. He got to his feet. I'll wait with them.
Lee gave him directions, then sat back a minute. He'd been on his way home after a 16-hour day, thinking he might have a before-bed beer. Now it looked like more coffee with another long day to come. He turned to his computer, did a run on Zane Bigelow, his parents, his aunt, Dave Carter. He got the phone number for the resort and got to work. When Zane looked back on the worst night of his life, small details stuck. The smell of the van, metallic, covered with the sweat of fear and desperation. The sound of the wheels on the road sang misery, the impossible loneliness. Whatever Dr. Marshall had given him for pain kept it under the surface. He knew it was there, knew it would come back, but he was too numb, body, mind, spirit, to care. The guard had eyes like marbles, hard and cold. The driver said nothing. He was the only prisoner. He'd learn later his father's insistence and influence helped speed his transport, alone and at such a late hour.
Looks like you got your ass kicked, didn't you? That's what you get for going at your mother, your baby sister.
Zane didn't respond. What was the point? He kept his head down. And later, like so many things later, he'd learned the guard's marble eyes and the disgust in his voice were due at least in part to the fact that Dr. Graham Bigelow had performed surgery on the guard's son after a car accident. He couldn't find his fear, couldn't even dig down through the numb for worry. Until the misery music of the tires changed to a kind of threatening grumble, and he heard the sound of the gate clanging shut behind the van. Panic bloomed in his belly, spread its tendrils into his chest, and rocks tumbled over it, sharp and heavy. He felt tears stinging the back of his eyes, and some instinct, some atavistic animal inside him, warned that if they fell, if even one escaped, it would doom him.
Welcome home, asshole.
The guard had to help him out of the van. If he felt any pity for the trembling boy with a splintered arm and ankle boot, he didn't show it. He went through a steel door, a metal detector. He had to stand against a wall, bright lights in his eyes, his weight on his uninjured foot. He gave his name, his birth date, his address. They took him to a room, took his clothes. He couldn't undress himself with his arm splinted, so suffered the humiliation of being stripped down, the unspeakable humiliation of the strip